Some young people were recently asked a question, which I thought was a pretty good question. Who are the most wise and influential people in your life? And young people, they think things through and usually give a pretty open and transparent response. Their answers were healthy and didn't go in the direction that the survey said they might go in. In fact, the people who did not make the list of the wise and influential people in young people's lives were these, the ones that weren't on the list. Movie, TV stars, and athletes. Okay, not on the list of the most wise and influential people in their life. Media and news professionals and singers. For a young person, they appreciate their information, their perspective, the goodness of their talents, but not really necessarily do they look to them for wisdom and influence. Peers were not on the list, surprisingly. Although young people like to talk to peers, very safe to deal with them, don't necessarily see them as being wise. Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, not on the list. Although young people love their machines. Yeah, give me some of those machines. But the most influential wise people on their list were parents. They might not have told you that lately, but it's parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and in a moment of mercy, even older brothers and sisters. They get on there. And also, church people. Church people. Young people don't always understand church people, but they look at you and they say, there's something influential about that life. There's something wise about that life that I don't understand, but it seems to count. And I want to get to know what's going on there. Well, the Lord would definitely give His input on who is wise and influential. Gives a description here in the passage from James. And James, if you remember, is the most down-to-earth practical book in many of the letters. It's straightforward. Someone said James reveals Jesus in working clothes. So here's Jesus. He's not, you know, a mysterious one that you can't know at all. You can see Him. He came, you know, walked among us and prays for us every day. And He's more glorious than we could ever know. So there's mystery in Him that way. But you can definitely get to know Him. And His wisdom is as practical as what you face on Monday morning. That's Jesus through James. J.I. Packer said that the message of James was not let go and let God. That can be helpful when you have no energy and maybe you're on your deathbed. Let go and let God. But the message of James is trust God and get going. Trust God and get going. So that's part of James here with wisdom, because faith without works is dead, and be a doer, not a hearer of the word. So we're talking about some actions here, even when it comes to wisdom. One more thing about James, I think it was instructive. Someone said, James reflects a song from My Fair Lady. That's before most of our times, but it was a famous musical. And in the musical, Eliza Doolittle sings, and she says, tell me no rhymes, don't waste my time, show me. She's seeking for love. Okay, she says, tell me no rhymes, don't waste my time. Show me. Sometimes God says that to us. He says, stop talking already, Preacher Bob. Show me. So that's part of the message of James and part of the message of God's Word. So he asked the question in verse 13. Here we go. Who are the wise and understanding among you? It's a humbling question. If you could say this morning, How many are sitting besides a wise and understanding person? Raise your hand. All right. Some of you are picking it up right away. Now, I noticed the guys raised their hand right away. But the gals are like, you know, are you? I have to pray about my answer. Who are the wise and understanding among you? Part of the qualification of that is, first of all, to realize there's people all around me who are much wiser and have much more understanding than I do. That's really true. And so if I'm going to gain some of that, I have to be open to what God is going to say through the key people that He has put in my life. And the second part of that is the converse. I have to realize that by myself, I am not very wise in understanding. I need wisdom from God. I don't just need information. I seem to have enough information. I'm not, I'm not stupid. But I have another problem that goes deeper. So it's not that my IQ is too low. It's something that my moral compass is broken. That's where wisdom seems to kick in and can bring health to me that I don't have. So James goes through this list of wisdom from the earth. He calls it wisdom from the earth or devilish wisdom. I think it's really a self-centered wisdom. And then he has wisdom from God. And pretty much says, this is what will happen when you just trust your own self, and this is what will happen when you realize, hey, there is someone sitting next to me who's wiser than I am, namely the Lord. That'll get us moving in the right direction. And so, to use the screen with the help of the guys here in James, in God's wisdom versus our own, here's our wisdom that's going to happen in our soul and in our thinking without any divine intervention. Okay, so this is going to come natural to us. Bitter envy, selfish ambition, disorder, evil practice. If you move into James chapter 4, you're going to see the words fights and quarrels. If you were to ask my family growing up about me, or even my present family, they would say, you know, without God, we know this guy. Okay, we could put our name at the beginning of the list. The autobiography of Bob, or whatever your name is. Okay, yep, I see bitter ambition, selfish ambition, bitter envy. I know that guy. Okay, that's something we have to deal with on our own soul. I know that person. Just a couple of the things that are in there. Bitter envy. Envy is when I'm not at rest with God and certainly not at rest with the people around me. There's something, I'm grabbing for something that I think will bring me peace. But really, the peace will only come from God. It won't come from any created thing. So I get this envy thing going that drives my life. Bitterness is when there's some hurt in my past, some anger. I'm carrying that around for a couple of days, a couple of years. My goodness, half my lifetime. Who knows? But it clouds and it flavors everything else I deal with. I remember sitting down at a meal and usually I love, believe it or not, Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts are not known for their sweetness. Right? They're known for their strong taste. And they can be a very, very bitter vegetable. So I'm eating and it's really bitter. And everything else on the plate, I think, not as good. And so if you have bitterness in your life, this is the way you see the world. The whole thing is not as good because I got something in my soul that tastes really, really bad. And I have not asked God to bring some sweetness or healing to the thing. So God would have us do this. Stop avoiding the truth that I have this problem. James is pretty confrontational. Calls it earthly wisdom. Stop avoiding the truth that I have this problem. And I know somebody who as an adult, really looked at life this way. They were always saying, you know, the world stinks, but I'm going to be tougher than the world. And they really went at it. It was more self-oriented. And then God started to do a work in their life. Boy, they took all that energy represented by those words, and they started to use it on others' behalf. What a change that only Christ can bring about. Here's some of the things you could do. If you find all those qualities in your own soul way too often, or in the souls of one of your friends that you love, first of all, disarm yourself and say, hey, I'm not going to defend myself. If God points out this sin, I'm going to agree with Him. I'm going to say, yeah, I have that problem, and I want God to bring a change. So disarm yourself. Take responsibility for what is there. If you're talking with another person, if you have caused harm to them, go and say, you know what, I think I'm a part of the problem we're having. There's something I'm doing that's not helping you, whether you say it to a spouse, a child, a neighbor, a fellow worker, or whatever. Would you please disarm them? Don't come in with your shotgun when they have a little, you know, knife. Come with an open heart. Take responsibility. Pray, listen, and speak. Say, God, I need your help to get this right. I need some wisdom from above. The earthly wisdom is just making it worse. And then give and receive forgiveness. Whatever forgiveness I need to receive from Christ. And then maybe pass that on to others. Pass it on to myself. A lot of people deal with that. Or if you're at odds with somebody else, say, I'm going to give forgiveness to this person because of all that Jesus has done for me. So a way to get away from just being wise up here and not the way you live is some of these things that we can get Jesus' help in. My mom expressed this to me once when I was 18 years old. I was heavily into the Bible. The Bible's a great book. Love the truth. Tells us, you know, we see Jesus clearly in there. John said we see ourselves too. And so I'm reading my Bible, as usual, on a particular day. She knocks on my door and says, hey, every day you're up here reading that Bible, she says, why don't you go help your dad wash the car? Okay? Oh, Mom, you sound like James. See, I was getting some things up here. She was looking for some wisdom in here and in my behavior. Okay, so that's a good thing she was pointing me to. Here's God's wisdom. A good life, a life of good activities that reflect God. Godliness, humility, that's strength under control. I know God's great. We know we need His help. Humility. Humility is very strong virtue in the Bible. Augustine said humility was the beginning of obedience. And pride was the beginning of sin. So if I say, I think I need God for Monday, you're going to start to get God's wisdom. Pure. How many of us would say, man, I got a pure life here. Pure light, the light of Jesus coming through. He'd share that with us, peace loving. Peace is mentioned three times in the passage. It's not real popular for whatever reason among Christians today, peace. It's popular with God. Jesus is the peace. He'll pass it on to us and others. Considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial. Could you put your name at the beginning of that list? Somebody in your family, they would say, yes, I know so-and-so, that they're humble, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive. I eliminate myself out of the list, you know, there. But we can put the Lord's name at the beginning of the list, which is where James is pointing us to, our need. Jesus, He knows how to live. Jesus was humble. He said about Himself, I'm humble in heart. He was certainly pure. He was the light of the world. He is. He's peace-loving, considerate, He was submissive to the Father. He was full of mercy. Whether you were a powerful person outwardly or just, you know, barely making it through life, he was connecting with that person with salvation. Impartial, good fruit. Jesus is that way. He could be that way in us. And the neat thing about being a Christian is, in the grace of God, you see this worked out in some people's lives who have walked with the Lord. You know, I see it in a lot of you all. I see it, for example, in some of the people who used to be walking with us, went to heaven. Woody Loffer. Some of you know Woody. He's 90 years old when he went to be with the Lord. And some of your spouses too. You know, Woody, good life. Humble, pure, peace-loving. He was considered. He was submissive, full of mercy. If God can do that for somebody, He could do that for you. Okay, look for wisdom in the person of Jesus. That's the point of this passage in James. Look for wisdom in the person of Jesus. He can really change your life. I remember watching a particular thing, and somebody was asked, which philosopher has influenced you, or do you consider wise? And the person said, Jesus Christ. And somebody said, why? And he said, well, because he changed my life. And sometimes there were snickers and things, but when I think of Jesus and maybe saying something about him, this is what I notice. They may snicker about you and me, but I don't meet too many people who are going to snicker about Jesus himself. There's something tremendously true and powerful about him than even a skeptic or a doubter is going to say, whoa. Now that is wisdom. You think of what the demons did when they saw Jesus. They said, we know you're the Son of God. Whew. Please don't destroy us. What did the most effective businessman of the day say to Jesus? Rich young ruler. He comes up to me and says, good teacher. I know you're a good teacher. I want to find out what my soul needs. What did Pilate, governor, say when he saw Jesus? He said, hey, I find no fault in this guy. If you're looking for influence and wisdom in your life, go to him, please. Don't underestimate the Lord. One of the big weaknesses of the church today, we underestimate the Lord. We overestimate everything else, which is basically idolatry. We underestimate the Lord. How much he can give us the wisdom from himself. Here's some wisdom verses. Fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. A healthy respect, trembling, soberness before God. I had the blessing of doing a wedding yesterday, and none of the folks were familiar with church or God or anything, but one of them said, hey, there's a time and a place for being serious about God. I said, preach it, brother. They sense that. From Proverbs, great promise. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So I can say to God, my problem is, would you say America's problem is not that we lack information and our IQs are low. Our problem is we need the truth from God in our souls. That'll get us rolling in the right direction. And then Paul says, you are in Christ who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, I can find in the person of Jesus what I need for everyday life, as down to earth as I can get. From how I work with others, to how I be a better person in my family. Here's an old-time definition of fear of the Lord. The affectionate reverence when the child of God bends humbly to Christ in every exercise of mind and work. So the rest of your day, you're thinking. And your thoughts, instead of being all over the place, have a healthy focus. God loves me. I'm blessed by Christ. I go. And it affects what happens Monday through Friday. It affects your relationships at home. People say, there's a lot of influence in that person. There must be, it's divine intervention. It must be the Lord. If you fear God and trust Him, He'll give you the wisdom you need to face life. I want to just share an instance where we saw wisdom at work. We didn't see selfish ambition or bitterness or fights or quarrels. It was on Flight 93. That first happened, when it happened 10 years ago. Here you had a bunch of strangers. Never met each other. They had less than an hour to make their minds up. Are we going to have selfish wisdom? Are we going to say, I'm bitter about this. What am I doing on this plane? And I don't want to be here. Or I'm about to save my neck. That's all I know. They could have went in that direction. But what did they do? They said, no. We're going to be unselfish. We're going to work together. We're going to see other lives as more important than our own. We're going to fight for the peace. And they did together with that wisdom something that they could never do as individuals. Never. Nobody as an individual is going to run up there and try to do the good. But when they prayed the Lord's Prayer, and we need wisdom from God. It was a pretty amazing thing that God caused them to be like that. But that kind of wisdom, that could be your house. That could be your work. That could be your church. There they go. They're all unselfish. They're not bitter at all. Look at that. The Lord will give us, if we seek Him for wisdom, a high view of God. Thank you, God, that you're great. We fear you. A sober view of yourself. I know what I don't know. And a generous view of others. Because of God's grace, you think, hey, I want others to grow and be blessed. Generous view of others. I want to show you a picture here that's supposed to represent wisdom from heaven. I think it does accurately. Don't get caught up in who's in the picture. Get caught up in their nonverbals. Because one of them is looking to heaven and one of them's bowed. I think it represents, it's a prayer time actually that happened last week. There they are. High view of God. Help us. Help these broken families. Help our broken nation. Sober view of ourselves. Lord, we're trusting in you. A lot of good things can happen when our souls are in that posture. And Mark Twain, I heard on the radio today, he was a word guy. He said, somebody asked him, what's the two most important words in the English language? He said, not guilty. He must have been in trouble. But that is something that would be pointing us to Jesus, you know. Because only with Jesus, in terms of getting wisdom or living life, are we going to hear the words from God, not guilty. Only with Him. And we can say, wow, I can live free and I can live at my best now. But without Jesus, we're going to hear the words, make sure you know this, you're going to hear the words, guilty, without Jesus. And you're going to end up in the earthly wisdom column, walking around with a bitter mouth, bitter eyes, bitter heart. God says, no, I don't want that for you. He'd give you Christ. Turn to Him and trust Him. And seek the wisdom that comes from God. He'll give it as a gift. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you know our plight and our lack of what we need to experience with you and then follow through with. We pray that we could live out, because of the person of Jesus, some of these strong qualities of heavenly wisdom, whether it's humility or peace-loving, or submissive. I know, Lord, I don't line up to be submissive, but you asked that of us, and full of mercy. And Lord, get us to see the sinfulness of the other qualities. That we could shrug our shoulders and say, everybody's like that, but you're not like that. So you can bring that character change we long. Make us a wise bunch of Christians so we can maybe be of influence towards Jesus for other people and for our own souls. I ask this in your good name. Amen.